This is Joe Ferrillo, and welcome to the weekly sermon from Amwell Church of the Brethren. We are located at 40 Sandbrook Headquarters Road in Surgeonsville, New Jersey.
This week's message is presented by Deacon Jeff Kiscerno and is entitled, Abiding in Christ.
The message this morning, which is Abiding in Christ. And we'll be reading in a little bit from the 15th chapter of John, verses 1 through 11. The last time I was here, I spoke to you about our Christian walk. That is where we are along the path of our Christian walk. How much have we matured? And I put up a picture there. Someone commented on it. I know I searched probably for an hour or more just trying to find the right picture with the perspective. So where are we with respect to our faith, our service, and our servanthood? We should always be reflecting and assessing where we are with respect to our relationship with our Lord and whether or not we're doing a good job of serving Him, growing in faith, or not. If we're not careful, if we're not diligent in our daily faith walk, we could become complacent. What is complacent? You've heard the word. It means pleased, especially with oneself or one's merits. Often without awareness of some potential danger or defect. And if we're there, we can surely imagine what the danger would be, right? Another word that we might become is apathetic, which means not interested or concerned, indifferent or unresponsive, uninterested or unconcerned. We certainly do not want to be there in our walk of faith. We need to remember who we are and whose we are. Who are we? Well, of course, we are Christians, followers of Christ. Who do we belong to? We belong to Christ. You should see a verse up there behind me, 1 Corinthians 16, 19 through 20. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Let me say that again. You are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We go on to read in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 22 to 24. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. Likewise also, he that is called, being free, is Christ's servant. Ye are bought with a price, but not ye the servants of men. Be ye not the servants of men. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called therein abide with God. So here we hear the topic this morning, abide. Now, if I were to ask you, are you abiding with Christ? I ask myself that question. So everything I say that I propose to you, I've already asked myself. And you probably would say yes to that. So as we get into the message a little bit deeper here this morning, we'll see what abiding means. Note that Jesus says that we are not to be servants of men, men pleasers. Tough to do if you're still out in the workforce. You know, we have a lot of people here that are retired or out of the workforce, maybe not out on a daily basis interfacing with people. Maybe not. It's not an excuse. We still talk to people, could be family, friends, and neighbors. But we are not to be men pleasers. And what are the most important words from Jesus? Ye are bought with a what? Price. Remember that. What price? Take you back to Easter. Christ shed blood. Easter wasn't that long ago, was it? Seems like a long time, doesn't it? Sometimes. Before we get into our text, I would like to, for a moment, discuss with you the person of Christ. Throughout the New Testament, we see Jesus in many different ways. We see him with displaying righteous anger, if you recall, with the money changers. We see him many times being very quiet, a forgiving attitude, for example, with the woman at the well. I always like that one particular verse. When he stoops down and he writes in the sand. Don't you want to know what he wrote in the sand? Someday you'll know. Confidence, showing his lordship when addressing the crowds. Compassion, when he healed people like Lazarus and when he wept. But I want you to look at him from a different perspective so we can better appreciate the message for this morning. So I'm going to read a devotion, because it says it well, from Charles Stanley that I get. It's called A Man Worthy of Our Praise, from the 8th chapter of Matthew. This is fine print, so I'm going to hold this a little bit closer to me. The men traveling with Jesus on a stormy Galilean night said something that ought to make us sit up and take notice. What kind of man is this? If we ask ourselves that same question, we will start to see the big picture of who Jesus Christ is instead of concentrating on the facets of his personality revealed by his individual stories. I've just related some of those to you. Imagine the wind, which had been funneled through a narrow gorge, pushing over the Sea of Galilee, making the water turbulent. So as I read this, just try and paint this picture in your mind. Scott can really do that well. Jesus and his disciples were caught in just such a dangerous storm while making their way to Gadara. As waves crashed over the deck of the boat, the experienced seamen on board were convinced that death was imminent. These are his disciples. But Jesus was sleeping. He was resting quietly during a storm so frightening that the Greek word used to describe it is seismos, from the same root that gives us the phrase seismic activity for earthquakes. What kind of man is this who can sleep while the boat heaves and pitches? The answer is that as the one who created the seas, Jesus knows how a storm brews and what energy causes a wave to stay in motion. That's the kind of man he is, a divine being cloaked in humanity who rebuked the winds and the sea so that they became perfectly calm. Scripture indicates that both the air and the water were instantly stilled. Instantly stilled. Such is the power of Jesus, the Creator and Lord over the universe. Taken together, all the Bible stories about Jesus reveal the big picture that he is the only man worthy of glory, honor, and praise. The disciples were experienced fishermen. They had been on a boat hundreds of times, thousands maybe. They no doubt had been in similar situations before, maybe not a storm this violent, but clearly they were fearing for their lives. Don't you marvel at that? They saw Christ, they were with him, saw him perform miracles. So when you get down on yourself sometimes, once in a while, and you think about your own humanity, think about the disciples. They were just as human as we are. And yet Jesus was asleep in the boat. The violent storm had no effect on him, but because he created it all, he knew every nuance, every danger there could be, he slept through it. The disciples could only ask themselves with all their extreme fear, who can this be that even the winds and the sea obey him? The disciples were with him, saw him perform many miracles, knew he was Lord, yet feared for their lives. Jesus' response, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? This is one example, one picture of who Jesus is. This is the God that we serve. Our text for today is John 15, 1 through 11. I'd like you to stand and let's read John 15, 1 through 11. Scripture should be up behind us as well. Yes, I do have it here somewhere. Let's read. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Thank you. We can observe from this passage that Jesus uses agriculture in this metaphor of how our relationship with him should be. He uses something that everyone could understand at the time because it was an agrarian society. It's a figure of speech. You know, we can call it, and these are fine lines. I tried to get the difference between a metaphor, an analogy, a simile, and a couple other ones in here, and they are all different, believe it or not. But not that much. So we'll leave it as a metaphor, a figure of speech in which a word or phrase literally denoting one kind of object or idea that is used in place of another to suggest a likeness or analogy between them. So Christ is using the vine as his example because everyone, including his disciples, can clearly relate to that. So let's set the stage for what's happening here. There are four things to observe and understand. There is the vine. There is the vine dresser. And there are two types of branches. Christ is the vine, and he is the true vine. The Father is the vine dresser, the caretaker of the vine and the branches. There is no misunderstanding of who they are. The issue here is, who are the branches? We are the branches. And there are those that bear fruit, and there are those that do not bear fruit and are withering and are pruned off and cast away to be burned in the fire. Who are the fruitful branches and who are the fruitless? Our Lord is speaking to his 11 disciples. They are in the upper room. And while Judas is still there, he is not being spoken to by Christ. He's really speaking to the 11 because Judas has already done his deed. As a matter of fact, in John 14, verses 20-28, Judas asks Christ a question, and Christ does respond to that, and a little bit later he leaves. He is the branch that doesn't stay. He is the branch that didn't abide. It is Thursday night. They're celebrating Passover, the evening before he is crucified. A lot has happened in a very short period of time. He has made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem in verse 12 of John 12. He taught some who came to worship at the feast in verse 20. Set the example to do what he has done by washing the disciples' feet in John 13. And we also see Peter being rebuked or scolded because he didn't understand what Jesus was doing when he washed his feet. He now begins to explain to them the relationship of believers in him and lack of in those who do not. Even today, we can understand his example, especially if you are a gardener. How many here are gardeners or aspiring gardeners? Okay, some are probably experts. So you can appreciate what we're going to talk about with the vine and pruning. So what do we take away from these verses? Christ is the vine, and we are the branches. The vine is rooted in the soil and takes up the water and minerals from it and provides it to the branches in order for them to grow. Excuse me. The fruitless, that is those professing faith in Christ but really do not believe, are pruned and cast away to be burned. Christ is exhorting his examples and us to abide, which means to stay, to remain, to continue, and to persevere. In this 15th chapter, and even some verses beyond, which we may not get to this morning, there are many, many promises. This is a pretty important set of scriptures that we read here, because there's a lot of promises for those who abide. By abiding, we are assured of salvation and eternal life. I was listening to what John MacArthur speak on this, and he says it this way. If you were asked to describe your Christian faith, someone asks you, why are you a Christian? And what does it mean to be a Christian? You might describe it in a couple different ways. You may say, well, I go to church every Sunday. I tithe every Sunday to help perpetuate the Lord's kingdom. I have a personal relationship with Christ, and that's probably one of the more common ones, right? I have a personal relationship with Christ. You may say, I'm born again, which an unbeliever is not going to understand what that means. They may not. What John MacArthur says is, what our reply should be is, we should say that God lives in me. The triune God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, lives in me. Because we look like everybody else in the world, don't we? Is there anything that distinguishes us from the outside? Now, I do have to say, I didn't plan this, but Cindy mentioned something this morning. Last Sunday, we went to have lunch, and a woman was sitting there, and she kind of had her phone on speaker so you could listen to the conversation. Truth, I was annoyed. Anybody, have you been around anybody that's got, you know, they're walking by and they got the speaker and you can hear that conversation? They're kind of invading your private space, right? So, I kind of looked at the lady and I just kind of dismissed her, didn't think much. And not too long after that, she started the conversation. I don't remember how she started the conversation, but something gave her some inkling that we were Christians, and I don't know why. I don't know why. But we did have that's spirit to spirit, right? We just had a wonderful conversation back and forth, and then her sister came and somebody else came, and they were from Pittsburgh. They were to Princeton for her nephew's wedding. He had graduated from the university and came back to be married. And we just had, she was from Greek heritage, probably grew up in the Orthodox Church, but became a born-again Christian. So we just had a wonderful talk on a lot of different things in a short time. Almost to the point where I hated to leave, but you know, when you're done with your lunch, the waitress wants to make money. I can't sit at the table forever. We could have sat there for a long time. But to make my point, we really don't look a lot different from anybody else, do we? Does a Christian look different from an unbeliever? We should. I can't tell you how exactly, just the persona maybe that we reflect. I'm just talking looking, no talking, no speaking. But they should know us, how we speak, yes, how we act, how we treat them. Then they should have some idea. Show of hands, how many of you have had someone say to you somewhere, sometime, or ask you why you are different? In whatever way they asked you that question. They just knew there was something different about you. How many times, show of hands, how many of you have had that happen to you, right? Okay, as it should. I had an article that I read, but I'm not going to read it to you, but I just wanted to point out it was by this pastor, Brian Hedges, who's at a Baptist church, I'm not sure where, and he talks about three things about abiding that is important to remember. It's connection, the life-giving vine. It's dependence. The branch is dependent on the vine, not the vine on the branch, right? We're dependent on Christ. He is not dependent on us. And the question is, where are we? What kind of branch are we? And continuance. And this is probably the most important part, that we should remain, we should stay. If you believe in Christ, if truly we are abiding in Christ, once we have become a Christian, somewhere on that walk, is it easy to give up? Do you have moments when you're down in your spiritual walk? You have moments when you're on a mountaintop, right? Don't you wish you could stay there? But there's a lot of circumstances in life that put you in a valley very quick. And then shortly after, you're back on the mountaintop again. We're really trying to even that plane out, right? Which is really what we want to do. But once you have made that commitment to Christ, the important part is that we should remain And we should stay the course. There's a word in the Bible, you only see it in the Bible, called steadfast. Steadfastness. It's a great word. John 8, 31 to verse 32 says, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believe on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." You know that verse well. John explains in John 1, 1 John, I should say, 2, chapter 2, verses 18 through 19, that those who are not a fruitful branch were never of us. I want to read that verse to you because it's kind of striking. 1 John chapter 2, verses 18 through 19 says this. "Little children, it is the last time, as ye have heard, that Antichrist shall come. Even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. That when we went out from us, they went out from us, but they are not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us." It's interesting, isn't it? That they were never of us. So I guess the point that I want to make here at this juncture is that the branches, and back to you gardeners, if there are, I don't know, you have a lot of vines in your backyard that you'd be pruning, but you have flowers and other plants. So if a branch is not producing and starts to wither, what do you do with that? You prune it, right? You cut it off. So what? So the other branches can be more fruitful. And the vine itself, the plant itself. And that's an important part, that vine be allowed to continue to grow. But those individuals who are not fruitful essentially are people who talked a good talk, but never walked the walk. They professed to be abiding in Christ, to be Christ followers, but at the end, never really were. You know, I think of the parable of the sower, you know, and there are people that become Christians, so we think, and not for us to judge. And they're just on fire, and to the point where you look at them and you say, wow, how come I'm not like that? And all of a sudden, you don't see them anymore. You know, they come to church for a while and then they disappear and you don't know what happened to them. You know, that's kind of the example of seeds on bad soil. But there's people that just never profess to be Christ. And the Bible says that there will be people, and you will hear one of two things. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Right? That's if you're fruitful. And the other ones will be, depart from me. Finish it. I never knew you. Wow. And if we abide, we will bear fruit. The branch on its own cannot bear fruit. We need to pay particular attention here. Jesus is not mincing words. He says with no further discussion, "For without me, you can do nothing. Or apart from me, you can do nothing." Think about that for a minute. You know, as we think about this abiding. And again, just where we are at this point, think about how important this is. You know, I think I heard John MacArthur also say on this that Christ came to this earth so that we could live with him eternally. He paid the price. We were bought with a price for our sins, and he was sinless. So think about this now. Sinless Jesus Christ paid the price for our sins, and yet he comes to live in our body. He sent the Comforter, right, the Holy Spirit, and yet he comes to live in us, a sinful person. What a paradox. I never heard that mentioned that way before, but it resonates with me now. How thankful are you for mercy and grace? So what we're talking about here essentially is two things: obedience and submission. These words are not something we adapt to easily. I'll admit to that myself. Especially today. We live, you know, every time I probably stand behind this pulpit, I probably say that we live in such a wretched world. As I watch, and I tell you, I watch a lot less news than I used to. It's almost unbearable to watch today. But as I read, you know, I don't shelter myself. I do try and filter through the news, reading, as well as what I hear. And I got to tell you, I shouldn't be amazed as a Christian. We shouldn't be amazed in Christians as what's going on in the world today, because we do believe we're living in the end times. Amen? Well, we don't know the time. But I just am amazed at how wicked the world really is. All the more importance for what we're talking about today. Don't take this lightly about abiding in Christ and the fact that God lives in you. I think if you take away just one thing this morning, just one set of words, just think about that, that Christ, that God, the triune God, lives in me. And then think about that as we meet and greet and deal with other people. One verse that I am still learning, and I will be learning for, Lord willing, a long time. Be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. But if we don't submit or we don't obey the Lord's commands, it is difficult to stay connected and to remain faithful and trusting in our Lord and Savior. Let us not take our responsibilities as a follower of Christ lightly. Let us continue, let us stay, and let us remain, no matter where we are on our walk. Remember, God lives in us.
Audio files, CDs, and notes of our weekly services are available on our website, www.amwell.org, or by calling 609-397-4842 and ask for CDs by the title or by guest speaker. Please don't forget to leave your name, address, and phone number.
Amwell Church of the Brethren will be offering Financial Peace University for 9 consecutive Tuesdays beginning August 7th at 7 p.m. at the Amwell Church of the Brethren. You can visit amwell.org for registration information.